Kylie, one of my favorite little girls. She's been all over the world. Now she's home here for a moment. Why don't you just move back here? We'll take you. You got a nice house out the way out in Flowery out there, you know, man. Good to see you, hon. Love you very much. And something I don't like, Jessica Quinn. This is her last service here. We love you, girl. We fell in love with you. We thank God for you and Matthew. And boy, what God has done in your lives. And we pray to God that God will turn your heart and bring you back. But anyway. But I don't think so. I heard you already got a job. She's a school teacher, and thank God for her. And we have loved having you. And you are special to us. I know those little guys that sit next to you at church think of you like an auntie. And praise God for that. I was thinking a dad and a daughter sang tonight, and a daughter and a mama sang tonight. What a privilege, amen. And what a good time. All right. All right, Marcia. I'm going to preach. Take your Bible, Psalm 1. Psalm 1. David Wall, thanks for all the stuff you do around here. A lot of things you don't folks see what David does around here. I call him my IT man, and he's certainly been a blessing and a help and encouragement to our church and get things done. I want you to look around and see who's here, and I want you to praise the Lord. I thank God for you, and I thank you for coming out. I don't want to waste your time. And I have really toiled over this message, these messages on the path that I take. I never realized before I started how many scriptures in the Bible talks about the path and the way, and the scriptures teaches us. And I think that many of us, sometimes we get lost on the path. We just get lost. Chaplain Racy called me up last week, and he said, "Hey," he said, "just want you to know I'm going up to Mortimer's Gulch." I said, "Mortimer's Gulch?" I said, "Where?" No, he said, "Up by Augusta, up by the Gibson Reservoir up there." And he said, "It is a beautiful place, and you can get in here, and nobody can find you, and the cell phones don't work." He said, "Will you come up for dinner on Saturday?" I said, "Good. I'll bring some pulled pork and some sauce and some buns, and we'll just have a time." And so yesterday we start out. I didn't realize it's a round trip, 239 miles. So I'm in the car, and in the car you hit Augusta, and then it's 29 miles on the gravel. And some of you campers know, hey, that's great. We love it. My car is buggy and dirty, but anyway. But as I was traveling up there, I had my GPS on, I was going, and I was using my phone, Verizon, and all of a sudden, no GPS. It says, lost signal. How many have ever happened to you? I said, what the deal is this? And I know it's Mortimer's Gulch, but... And I wasn't sure of my path. And I said, well, at least I got pork and I got sauce and I got bun. Mom and I can have a party. We got lots of water, amen. And I don't have to be back to church until 9:45 on Sunday morning, amen. So we just kept going and going and going. I thought, good night, man. What in the world? Where'd you go out of this world, you know? When I got there, I found out that it was pretty close. But anyway, And I thought as when I was driving up there, and you know, just it's neat to drive and time to think. And I thought the paths that we'd take, and I thought, boy, I hope I'm on the right path because there is no signs. And then I saw a sign that said Gibson Dam. I said, well, he said it's close to there, so I'm close anyway, you know. Maybe I shoot 3 shots in the air and maybe you come find me. But anyway, kept on. And now I'm really getting kind of, because we're way back in there. And I know I've hunted back there, but it sure looks different when there's snow and no snow, amen. And I said, a guy was coming towards me from Great Falls, and I waved him out. I said, do you know where Mortimer? Yeah, I said, you go up 2 miles. So I went up 2 miles, and there was a sign that said, Mortimer's Gulch Campground. And I thought, well, maybe we're going to find it. And so I tooled in there, and then I forgot what chaplain's vehicle looked like. But then I saw his Ford pickup, so I said, yeah. anyway, so it was good to be there. But I thought, and why I say that, many of us, that's how we live our Christian experience in our life. Our path, many times, there's no road marks. Or there's no... But boy, when you see one, you doggone happy, amen. And I said to my wife, she must have catch, I said, there's a sign. She said, oh, good. And I thought, so I must have been groaning in the spirit a little bit. Oh, but anyway, take your Bible, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man. Let's stand to read tonight, Psalm 1. Psalm 1. I've always tried to get my teenagers in my church to learn and memorize these six verses, Psalm 1. This will help you get through it. It helped me when I was in college, when I went to college. You're going to have some tough time in college. First of all, it's not home. Secondly, you're going to get very tired. Thirdly, everybody's going to try to get a piece of you and get you to do this and do that. And then all of a sudden, you're really going to get tired. Then you get sick. And then all of a sudden, many times they come home. We don't want you to do that. We want you to pace yourself. We want you to know the path that you're taking. Amen. I don't want to lose another kid to college. Okay. So we want you to pace yourself. And this will help you. Okay. Psalm 1. I thought of you when I was writing this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, listen now, is in the law of the Lord. And in that law doth he meditate day and night. He's always thinking about it, always thinking about scriptures he'd read in the morning. He's meditating on it. He's chewing his cud. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd help us, Lord God, to meditate on the Word of God. And Lord God, I pray that you would make the law of the Lord our path. Lord God, help us to walk close to you. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Psalm 5, verse 8. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. Lord, help make my path easy to follow. Lord, make my path easy. Make your path easy to follow. I love GPS. I don't care what anybody says about it. I love GPS, except when she says recalculate. I found out that on my GPS on my motorcycle, you can put a man's voice in there. I don't need my wife telling me, recalculate all the time, amen. I like to know where I'm going. When I drove semi-truck, I want to really make sure I know where I'm going because, you know, it takes 40 acres to turn that rig around. Amen, brother? Good to have you, Bruce. Amen. So I want to make sure I don't get in a tight spot. As a Christian, the psalmist says, Lord, make your path easy to follow. Make thy way straight before my eyes. Wouldn't you like to know what God wants you to do tomorrow, exactly what He'd like to do tomorrow? How many like to know that? Don't you not raise your hand. You raise your hand. You know you want to know what you're supposed to do. Lord, which way do I go to work? That's a choice. Lord, should I do this or should I do this? What's the first thing I should do tomorrow morning? Sleep in. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 1. Set thee up waymarks, make thee high heaps. Jeremiah 31:1. Read that. Put it in your Bible. Jeremiah 31:1. Set thee up waymarks and make thee high heaps. Back in Bible times, they would put up stones as markers so the unfamiliar traveler would know the way and to be confident in his travel through unknown territory. I like that. Brother Roy Ross took me hunting over by Helena one time. I never had so much fun in my life. I mean to tell you, you know what the Bible, you know what we used to say, if you ain't scared, you ain't having fun? I was having a time of my life. He dropped me off and he said, I'll see you back here at noon, didn't you, Roy? I'll see you back here at noon. I've never been to this place. I mean, we're off from some national forest. I have no idea. I have a gun. No compass. And I said, okay, I'll see you at noon. My dad used to say, when you're out in the woods, always turn back and look at the surroundings you're going to go back to, and that'll be familiar to you. I about made myself dizzy. I got in it, and there were some of the most fantastic different kinds of columns of stones and rocks and cliffs. It was just beautiful. And guess what? I got lost. And I looked at my watch, and it said 11 o'clock. And I didn't want old Uncle Roy to know that this old preacher got lost. My boys, all three of my boys, they have GPSs in their brain. I've never seen it before. They just know where to go. And they know how to come back. I know where to go. I don't know how to get back. It's always nice to have signposts that said, hey. So, you know what I did? I took my old boot and I did like this. I made an arrow, went like that. I came around that arrow three times. In some of the Michigan forests, you'll see trees that are bent down to the ground and then straight up. Great big trees. It'd be like this tree like here. The thing come up and then it'd go right straight down like this and then straight up. I asked my dad one time, I noticed a few in our woods, and I said, Dad, I said, what is that? He says, those are done by the early Indians. And that would show them to mark their encampments and their fishing and hunting grounds. And he says, these were dense forests in Michigan before that we came in and cut them down and built you beautiful houses and rebuilt Chicago, amen, after the big fire. And those trees are in there, and those, you can see them, and all of a sudden, if you follow them, you almost get out of sight, and then there's another one. And you almost get out of sight, and then there's another one, because you always follow that tree that's the bend to it and up. That's an amazing thing. I hate being lost. There's nothing in this world I hate more than being lost and not know where I'm going. It's the most frustrating thing in the world. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The greatest fear of my life would be that you'd be lost and couldn't find your way to God. My greatest fear, secondly, is you'd grow up in a Christian home and all of a sudden you'd lose your mooring and you'd drift out in the seas of life and not know how to get back. And ladies and gentlemen, that happens all the time. And us parents and grandparents, we weep and we cry and we beg God to bring you home. Because we know what it is to be lost. Most of us have done some stupid stuff in our lives. Amen or oh me. And we want you to stay on the right path so you don't have to get out in the bad stuff. So as we who are a little older than you, I'd like to quote you a psalm that Dr. Bob Jones Sr. quoted so many times. I heard him say it personally many times. An old man going a long highway came at the evening cold and gray to a chasm vast and deep and wide through which was flowing a swollen tide. The old man crossed in twilight dim. The rapids held no fear for him. But he turned when safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. Old man, cried a fellow pilgrim near, you're wasting your time in building here. Your journey will end in the closing day. You'll never again pass this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build you a bridge at eventide? The builder lifted his old gray head. Good friend, in the path I have come, he said, there follows me today a youth whose feet must pass this way, the stream which has been as naught to me, to that fair youth, maybe a pitfall be. He too must cross. In the twilight's dim, good friend, I'm building this bridge for him. That's my desire. I'm humbled when people tell me about my life and what I'm doing. Take care of my bride. Just part of the territory, folks. But if it has to be, I want some of you young guys to understand it don't make any difference what you stay with her. You'll sacrifice, I promise you. You'll become very lonely. Even your family will become very distant. Let me tell you something. I'm going to take care of their mama. So guys, enjoy what you have today. Enjoy every moment of it. Laugh and giggle and go out and do things, come home and tell her the stories, and you go places and tell him the stories. Enjoy life. And some of you who are worried about your kids, they'll get along. You married her, not them. They just came. And they will leave. And you have no idea what they'll do. You have fun. I am to the point now, I didn't understand my sister who said, you will never have so much fun in your whole life as when those stinking kids are gone out of the house. Some of them just keep coming back, amen. But I'll be honest with you, when I was raising my boys, I never had so much fun in my life. I look at the fears, I see them and their antics, and their frog catching. I looked at all the girls' hands today. I said, let me see your hands. I said, well, you don't have warts yet. They're catching warty toads, amen. It's not true at all. Have some fun with them. Enjoy. Enjoy the time. Enjoy the time. Include them in everything at church. Don't drop that ball. Because someday they may. Psalm 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there is pleasures forevermore. Psalm 23, 3. Restore my soul. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and you will. One of these days you're gonna live this verse. You will walk through the shadow of the valley of death. It may be a teenager goes wrong, it may be a husband that leaves, it may be a wife that leaves. It may be a death in the family, it may be a death of a child. But it's going to come. There's going to be a shadow death of disappointment in your life. There's going to be a time that you thought, you were watching, you were putting all your energy into someone, and all of a sudden they, you know, Jesus says, even my own familiar friend. You know, bad enough when your enemies hate you, but boy, when your best friend hates you and leaves you, that kind of... Are you kidding me? So it's going to come, and you should have a press release. You should have something that you're going to go to God. Last couple of weeks, my press release is this. Leave it to the Lord and leave it there. Just bring it to the Lord and leave it there. Just leave it there. Let this mind, you know, that your mind would be stayed on Him. Remember I said this morning, if you watch people long enough, you'll be disappointed. If you look at yourself so much, you'll get disgusted. You must look at the Savior. You must look to the Savior and say, Savior, and the problem comes, and the heartaches come, and you're saying, oh, how can I bear this? Just go to the cross. Just go to the cross. Go back to Gethsemane. See Him there weeping. See Him the blood pour from His brow. See the hurt. See the kiss of Judas. You know, you think you really got it bad until you start really looking around at different people and the heartaches and sorrows that they have in their life. And you say, psh. I told a cousin the other day, you know what? I'm glad what you got. I'm glad what I got. I just keep what I have. Because the Lord knows what He's putting in our way. And they're not a stumbling block for us. They're a stepping stone. They're something to make us greater and something we can trust God more. These things happen. Is God going to take care of us? Yes or no? My say would be yes. I've preached hundreds and thousands of sermons. I've did funerals, and I've been at people's deathbeds, and I've at hospitals, and things that just not right, and they're not quote unquote fair. And I said, God will give you the peace that passes all understanding. He will never leave you nor forsake. Now this is the preacher, all right? Professional preacher, got all the words. I'll tell you what you're supposed to do, right? Until it comes to you, and I found out something. I found out it's 100% more true than I was telling it. He will give you the peace that passes understanding. Something happened last week and my heart was just broken and I was just... Boy, I'll tell you what, I was a mess. I'll tell you what. Sorry, I was a mess. And I got a letter in the mail. And I got another letter in the mail. And I got another letter in the mail. And I got another letter in the mail. And I opened this up. And somehow, and you've probably seen the post about when we got the award... Chapel's Church?
Lancaster.
Someone had taken that and sent that to 100 people and said, will you please pray for the Shears and please watch this? I'm at home. I don't know they did that. I had no idea. That someone had put there and said, please pray for the Shears. And all of a sudden I get this letter. Just want you to know we're praying for you. I didn't even know who this person was. I'm going like, who is this? And I got another letter. Somebody sent me $100 for our hospital bills. I said, good night. Now remember, I'm having a what? Bad day. And I got another letter. Just want you to know I'm praying for you. But you want to know that Dr. Bob Jones III is out of the office this week, but he wants you to know that he's praying for you. I'm going, good night. I'm going to tell you something. It works. What if I just leave? What if I just quit? What if I just... I've had it. You don't know my life. You don't know Roy's life. You don't know Carol's life. You don't know Jeff Jordan's life. I mean, really? You don't know the Crawford's life, what they've been going through this year. You don't know that. Some of the others. You don't know Barb's life. No.
Mrs. Hamilton's life. You
know them, come to church, but you don't know the ins and outs of things that are going on in life. But sometimes life just gets so consumed. You don't know Rachel Wynn's life. You have no idea. You know, I read the Facebook of a little buddy, Donahue boy, with his face all red. Man, I'm just churning for this little guy, praying for him. We don't understand that stuff. You don't understand about the hours at night that there's no sleep and there's, you know. But we know one thing. God's still in control. And he hasn't made a mistake. And we've proved him for the last 42 years of our marriage. Why shouldn't we keep trusting the next 3 years of our marriage? I'm no different than you are. I have hurts. You have hurts. Just that we can't give up on each other and quit each other and just say, well, there's something easier. No, there's nothing easy. It's a hard life. And the older it gets, the harder it gets. Can you imagine a man, a great big preacher man, they have to cut off his leg? My brother-in-law, great preacher. Now he has to ride in a wheelchair. But praise God, last week he got his prosthesis. I got to be there when he put it on, and he walked with that crazy thing. And he says to me, hey, Sheldon. I said, what? He said, you want to meet Stubby? I said, what? He said, Sheldon, you want to see Stubby? I said, no, I don't. It's not computing, you know. Did not compute. I said, Stubby? Yeah. And he pulls his pants up, and here this thing is cut around here and going like this with the thing. That's the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm telling you, John. I said, John, put that thing, boy. It's all healed. Well, he's got a little bit of problem there, but pray for him. And I thought, I walked out of the house, and I see he's a great big man. And my sister-in-law, Barb, has to do everything. She can't leave him. His old Stubby can't get around very well. That's what she told me, so I'm just reporting. But I see, getting ready for bed, taking off the prosthesis, giving him his pills, weight on his hand and foot, and it's just eating that man inside of him because he has to ask his wife even for a drink of water. I said, Barb, God bless you. I gave her a little gift on her card and wrote a little note to her. I'm so proud of you. I cannot tell you how proud I am. Now, folks, let me tell you something. You just stay in the path. And by the way, it's a straight and narrow path. And there's no place to flip and flop on this thing. I mean, we're going straight. The Christian life should be straight. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 says this, enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go therein, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be to find it. I want that. I don't want death. I want life. Don't you want life? Psalm 25, verse 4, show me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy path. Lead me in the truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Verse 10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his commandments and his testimony. Mercy and truth. Psalm 27, verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path. I love that. because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are rise up against me, and such breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. There's going to be people who are going to say bad things about you. They're going to say bad things about me. They're going to say, you know, Harriet Baptist Church used to be. You know, they've changed. Where? Don't listen to that. That's foolish talk. We still want to serve God, amen? We're still going soul winning. We still have bus ministry. We still go to our camp ministry. We're still believing in prayer. We're still believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you can do it better, go! Just don't leave your garbage. Just go. Isn't it amazing? The people that go always have to talk to people that didn't go. And the Bible says about the scorner, that's where you leave it alone, Dwayne. Got me? Just leave it alone. Say, you know what? You don't come to our church anymore. Really, if you're not interested in our church, I don't think you need to be talking about our church. I pastored a church, First Baptist Church, out in South Dakota for almost seven years. About 5 years, we had a little exodus happen in our church. Few people left. Because I believe the Bible and I believe what it says about the pastor's responsibility. But I kept hearing this chirping. See, I was a firefighter and an EMT, EMS. And I was in town all the time and I was at the coffee shop. Buddy, you want to go to a town that has 600 people and you got a coffee shop, you hear all the news. Amen? Oh, yeah. And every time I walk in, hey, Reverend. They call me Reverend. Hey, Reverend, hey, what's going on in your church? I said, I don't know why. What's going on? Well, he said, I heard so-and-so saying about so-and-so. I said, you know, I said, that's funny. I didn't know about it. But I'll find out about it, and I'll come back and tell you. I got up in church service one Wednesday night. We're having a business meeting. The church was packed. I mean, packed for Wednesday night service. People that had never been in our church for 6 months were there. With my keen little computer-like mind, I thought, there must be something going on, right? Well, I never have a business meeting without, and I've done this for 45 years, so don't think this is new. Before a business meeting, I always do my Bible study. If you're going to do business, you ought to have your heart right with God, amen? Wouldn't you know I'm preaching on 1 Corinthians? And troubles in the church. And I didn't plan it. You can say what you want, but I wasn't planning it. I just preached what I had. And I said, I opened the business. I said, folks, I said, I know there's a lot of you here that normally don't come. Boy, I was brash in those days. In those days. And I said, I don't know what's going on, but glad you're here. I said, I hear some of you have a little problem with me being your pastor. And I said, I think tonight we ought to address that. You know what that does to a preacher? That's tough. Because he's the only one guy standing up here and y'all all there. And I said, let's talk about it right now. And I was in sincerity. I was sincere. I didn't mean any meanness. I just trying to get a church to get going, serve God, to be soul winning, to pray, to read their Bible, and be a good testimony in our community. That's all I wanted. That's all I want here at Harry's Baptist Church. That's all I've wanted. Some of you people have been with me all the time. You know that's all I want. I'm not a picking people. I don't like fights. If I have a fight, I'll go home and I'll lose my dinner. I can't stand it. I can't stand people fighting. And about four rows back, there's a guy standing there who had called one of my deacons that morning and said, if you don't get rid of Shear, we'll take care of it. And that deacon was a smart deacon who called me up and said, hey, preacher, I don't know what's going on. He said, you know, I said, hey, I said, let me come out and talk to you. I drove out and talked to him. He said that. I said, it'll be okay. I called my friend who was pastoring the Fairview Baptist Church, Pastor Dion, and I said, Brother Dion, I said, I don't know what's going on, but I said, I know you pastored here 10 years before I did. He says, I'll tell you what's going on, and he named the families. And I had not had correspondence with him. He named the families. He says, these are the people who gave me trouble in that church, and he said, I'll guarantee you they're giving you trouble. I said, they're giving me trouble, giving God trouble. And I said, so I came to that church and preached. I said, all right, it's just stand up. And this lady, sitting next to her husband, she went like that, and he just doubled over like that. And he went like that. He was as white as a sheet. And I said, and I watched my clock. I gave him 10 minutes. It was dead silence in that church. I said, okay. Now, I never spoke these words before. I don't know if you want to call it speaking in tongues or whatever. But I said, ladies and gentlemen, we have given you 10 minutes to speak anything you have, a problem of our church. And not a one of you stood up and spoke. Therefore, if I again hear of some of you people talking about your church to town people that don't have any idea about the church business, we will deal with you with ecclesiastical discipline. I never heard of the word ecclesiastical discipline, but it was there. And I said, I promise you, we will do it. We'll bring before the church. How many think that's right? Yeah, that's right. That's the way you're supposed to do it. That night, they voted for me to have a raise. I think it was 64-27. Next Sunday morning, all those 64 there, those 27 were not there that day. I wish I could tell you the sad story about those families that caused that trouble and left that church. They took a path that night that led to destruction. Not because of how great I am, and boy, please don't get this idea that I was doing everything perfect, but because they went against the principles of God's Word. My Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. If people want to, hey, it's a free country. We're not here. We're not handcuffing people and hog-tying people to keep in church. We're here because we want to be here tonight. You didn't have to come to this old hot old building. I don't even know how hot it is in here. It's really hot up here. We're here because we want to come and fellowship and enjoy ourselves. I don't know about you, but I had a great time tonight. Just that singing of that choir, just wow, you know. Or the preaching the Word of God. The Word of God, just, you know, hey, you know what? There are so many people out in Great Falls and Cascade County who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've never heard it. And who's going to tell them? Churches with the rock bands? Probably not. Churches with their country western bands? Probably not. They're too busy doing their ministry of music, even to let their preacher preach. You say, you're picking on them. No, I'm just telling you that if that's your style, hey, it's a free country. You have a free will, but I will tell you something. If you don't go down the straight and narrow path, which God said gives you life, then you guess where you're going the other way. You'll have children. We'll have teenagers in this building here. You don't have enough gumption. You don't even have enough brains in the tip of your finger to do anything yet. That's why you're still at home. But once you get old enough, you're just going to pack up and move out. You're missing the greatest fun of your life. To be loved by a daddy and loved by a mama and loved by your siblings. Wait on the Lord. Did you hear what it said? Wait. None of us like to wait. I like my Keurig coffee within a minute and a half. I've got coffee in my hand. I'm sucking that stuff down. Amen. Man, I know it's ready to go. I don't want to do it like my mother used to do. Mother-in-law used to put it in a pan. Put some coffee grounds in it. Crack an egg. Drop that in there and then make the coffee. And then drink it. I like it. But the Bible says, wait. Wait on the Lord. Then he says, hey, while you're waiting, you just be of good courage. It's going to be okay. Hang on. Just hang on. It's going to be okay. Wait. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with my eyes. Verse 9, Psalm 32. Some of y'all read that. It may help you. Be not as a horse or as a mule. That's a mule. Which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto you. There are just some people are just horses and mules. Are you getting that? Someone comes up and takes a kick at you. Consider the source. They're just a mule. You got to be a farmer to understand that, amen. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusts in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Psalm 37, verse 31, the law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Psalm 73, verse 18, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou canst them, casteth them down to destruction. Psalm 119, verse 101. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep his word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. Proverbs 1:15. My son, walk not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and to shed blood. We are given choices to what path of life we take. Man has a free will. Every one of you, you have a free will. You don't have to be here tonight. You say, but my dad said I was going to come. You don't have to be here tonight. My mom said I have to be here tonight. You don't have to be here tonight. In fact, some of you are sitting here, but you're not here. Some of you are just listening, but not listening to me. You make choices, whatever path you want. But he also must ponder that all actions that he takes have reactions. You don't have to go to work tomorrow. You can stay home. When that alarm clock goes off tomorrow morning, you don't have to obey it. When someone comes up to you and offers you something you know you should not do or should not say or should not be, it's your choice. When my boys were little, I found an old pack of cigarettes that were just the package. And I'd say, here, take one. And they said, no! I said, take one! No! Take one! No! I said, your daddy said, take it. He said, I don't care, I'm not going to take one. What was I trying to do? If you say no to me, he'll say no to his buddy. Hopefully. I'd find an old beer bottle.
I said, boy, here, take a drink. No! Take a drink! No! Take a drink! No! Your daddy said, no! I hate booze! And then we'd put a can down. It wasn't a bottle, it was a can. And then they'd stomp on it. I hate booze! I hate booze! I hate... You say, that's stupid. No, it's not stupid. I'd tell them, spit on that cigarette. You don't have free will. You can go out and smoke if you want. That won't keep you from heaven. You may smell like hell, but you ain't going to smell like heaven. That's not going to keep you from heaven. Drinking's not going to keep you from heaven. It may keep other people from heaven. It may keep other people thinking, you know, and it may send your boy or your girl to jail. It may kill somebody. It's not going to keep you from heaven. You say, good night, why'd you get so wound up? I tell you what, I've been working on this thing. And I'm thinking in my heart, and I'm thinking, how can I, as a bridge builder, get to these little guys like Kevin and Cody and Logan? How can I get to them? And Charlie and Jason. I hate sin. I hate bad. I hate the Satan. In the name of the blood of Jesus Christ, I hate him. He's always trying to disrupt. Always starting forest fires and brush fires and bush fires. And just, we're so busy putting that stinking stuff out, we don't have time to do the right stuff. Hey, choose your path. My friend, choose your path well. For one path is the path of life. And the other path is the path of death. It's not easy living a Christian life. The Bible said, all ye that live godly will all suffer persecution. None of us like to suffer persecution. None of us like to be called a dummy. None of us like to be called a teetotaler. None of us like to... We all want to be with the crowd. Don't kid yourself. We all want to pat people, pat us on the back, say, hey, man, you're a great dude. All of us do. But according to my Bible, you got 70 to 80 years at the most. And then it's all done. You go to heaven, it's billions and quadrillion years with the Heavenly Father. For what you've done here, for God, will last. Or it'll be wood, hay, and stubble, which burns and gone, and all the things that you thought about in your family, in your house, in your cars, in your motorcycles, in your four-wheelers, in your boats, and your campers, and your trucks, and... They're going to go away. But that little guy sitting next to you, you got your arm around. And you got your arm around that little guy that's sleeping. That little guy's got his head on his shoulder, Grandma. That's what we're after. This deal tonight that you raised, I don't know how many, probably $2,000, sent some kids to camp. You have just invested in the greatest thing there to be invested in, and that's children. I just wish I could portray to my teenagers we are not forgetting about you because we didn't get to take it civil with this. Don't. Please. It just burdened my heart. I'll promise you I'll invest. I'll pray. And I'll study. I'll do everything I can to tell you how to go in the path you ought to take. And that'll last more than a ride in Silverwood. I want you young couples to go home tonight and look at her and him straight in the eye and say, you know what, we're going to take the straight path. We're going to stay with the stuff. I want some of you people that are mature and you're in the middle of your greatest years of your life. And I want you to go home to Mama and say, honey,
I don't care what these kids say. This is how we're going to do it. And we're going to serve God no matter what. We ain't going to change. Now I want some of your senior saints to bow your neck a little bit and say, you know what? I'm going to keep on going the same way I've been going. I'm too old now to change. This is where I'm headed. I'm going to do everything I can to serve God, to support God. I may not have children, but I'll financially help some kids. I may not have children, but I'll try my best to go around and grab some of these kids around the neck and say, you know what? Carefully. I love you. And I just want you to know that Uncle Roy's praying for you, or Sister Rouse is praying for you, or Uncle Scott is praying for you, or Renee. I just want you to know that I'm praying for you. I prayed for you today. Hey, Jason, let me ask you this. What if someone come up to you from our church and said, hey, Jason, just want you to know I prayed for you today. Where you going? What grade do you want to end to? 10th grade. Think he's going to have an easy time this year? How many think that? How many think he's going to have a little tough time? How about some of you guys that are in your seniors this year? Or juniors, or you're already a senior life. How many of you think 10th grade is easy to go? How many think it's a tough time to go in your life? 10th grade. Yeah. Boy, wouldn't it be great? Hey, just want you to know, Brother Rick, praying for you and them boys. I know what boys are, man. You get one boy, you got a boy, you got two boys, you got half a boy, you got three boys, you ain't got no boys at all, amen. I can't pray for you ladies with your girls. But I'm going to pray this, that that little girl would stay pure for these little boys in our church, that they would stay pure for their wedding. That's a good deal, amen? Anybody know what time it is? I'm glad you didn't know. If I see you bebopping around and worrying about things, then I just quit, amen. But I'm glad you stayed. I can't tell you how much this old preacher loves you. I wish I could tell you how much my wife loves you. I want God's blessing upon this place. Right now, hopefully, we have a person that is going to help us get the steeple on our church. I wanted it by our 34th anniversary. I don't know if we're going to do it or not, but I got some people who are working on it, and it's looking good. I met one of my cousins in Minnesota, one of the Stanglins, and we were talking. I didn't know him too well, and he's probably in his 30s, and I said, hey, what do you do? He says, oh, I got a little engineering firm in Minneapolis. I said, you do? Yeah. I said, I'm trying to get a steeple put in our church, and I need an engineer. He said, well, he says, I got about 100 guys work for me. I think we could probably help you out there. I said, hey, why don't you come on out? Take you fishing. So anyway, pray that gets done. I want to get that done. I thank God for all the folks who did the work on the park. Made it look so nice. You guys did so much work. If you look at Josh's hands, let me see your hands. Stand up and show your hands to the people. Both of them. Yeah, those are double and triple blisters. We had a whole bunch of gravel there, and we didn't get anybody with a tractor to come in, so Sheldon and Josh out there digging gravel and throwing stuff. Oh, man, so many of you people helped. I'm in trouble now because I started telling you. John cut down that tree out there. The tree was going down. I was afraid it was going to break. Thank you, John, for taking care of that. Thanks for all those people that helped us have a great time at the picnic. Pat, for your flying expertise of that airplane, that's always cool. Tucker, for your great games and your wife being the target of those games. We were not throwing at that. We were trying to throw it hit her, you know. Thank you. Thank you, Fern and Nancy, for all, and Sherry, for you playing our church. Thank you, Mrs. Hobbs, for all the work you do.
Amen.
Cleaning and our bookkeeping. She's quite a gal. Thank you, deacons, for helping me out and being an encouragement to me. This morning I was so down. Old Brian walked right in. I said, "Brian, did you see the bulletin?" I said, "I didn't catch it." Yeah. "Well, it's okay. I just sent it. God has a plan for this. It's all right." Then his wife comes in. "Hey, how you doing, preacher?" I thought, "Man, it's okay. We're okay, amen." You know. So thank you for all you people that do so much. You nursery workers, God bless you. And the people in the nursery right now hate me right now. I love you back there. But just thank you. Thank you for just doing stuff around and being there for us. And there's just so much to do around here. And I appreciate all you do. Appreciate seeing new people in the choir singing. What a blessing, amen. What a blessing. So, we've got a lot to stay thankful for. Just look around. It's all right. We're okay. We'll be all right. Just hang in there. We just stay straight, stay walking close to God, and God has some great things accomplished for us. Amen. Pray that God will send in some new folks that we can be. We were blessed by two new families today. One family said they were going down to their family in Helena, but they would have been back, and I didn't get to hold the other ones. But that's a blessing. Amen. So, amen. I hope you choose the right paths. And I hope you realize there's great reaction to things if you do wrong. And that's a bad deal. I want to be very careful about that. Father in heaven, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for, I know I've forgot Sunday school teachers and bus workers and all kinds of people that do so many things around here that we don't even see. But we see the effect of what they've done, cleaning our building and water and, oh my goodness, all the things. Lord, bless them for that. Lord, this is our place. This is our home. We just take care of our house, take care of the house of God. I pray now, Lord God, as we have the Lord's Supper, that it be a blessing and help and encouragement to us. You are a great God. To think that you gave his only begotten Son to this world, to be crushed, to be beat, to be cursed at. The creator of this universe, to be hung on a tree that he'd already grown. It was his product. To think that you are such a great God to say, "I will do this for you because I love you." There's no greater love. The man would lay down his life for a friend. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can call you friend, Father, Holy God. Bless this service now as we come. Lord, if there's anyone here today that's not sure they're saved, right now they call upon your name and ask you to forgive them sins come in their life and their heart. Lord, if there are some that need to change their ways of the path they're going down, Lord, I pray tonight challenge from the Word of God would say, you better change quick. You have no idea what's coming next. And Lord God, help us when we come to some of those places in our lives that seem to be roadblocks. And we have to take another way. May we enjoy the adventure and the scenery that we would never see. Lord, encourage those who are in deep, deep hurt tonight. Those that have lost loved ones, those who are sick, those who are going to have babies, those who are in great need. God, I pray you'd help them. Help the caregivers, Lord. Bless them. May they know how much we appreciate their work. Our Lord, bless this service in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask the